Cap a little bit as we continue. I've been talking to you a little bit about community. Remember this sermon, Jesus did not come to write a book, but he came to start a community. And how we are a community as a church of believers within the family here at Lake Gibson, also within the wider family of other denominations, and within the family of where we live. Like one of the things I've said, Carpenters is in our zip code. Carpenters Home, yes, they've got their own stuff, but they're part of our community. Paget's part of our community. Wendell Watts is part of our community. All these places are part of where we live and the people that we're concerned about. I've been reading a book. Well, actually, it's a series of books by Richard Paul Evans. Anybody else know who he is? He wrote a book called The Walk. Actually, it's a trilogy, and then he wrote another one. The first one, a gentleman loses his wife and he loses his business and he walks from Seattle to Key West. And in the second series, somebody who has lost everything walks Route 66 from Chicago to California. And he's apparently a Christian writer because he brings some Christian things out. Each one of these series, the hero has lost his faith and it's how he finds it again. But in this last one, one of the things that struck me is the gentleman had to quit his walk. And by the way, these are based on true stories. He had to quit his walk and fly home or fly to a memorial service for a gentleman that both had made him and that he had also betrayed. And as he was flying to this funeral, he sat down in the plane. And he sat next to this big guy and he turned to him and said, "Hi, what do you do?" And the big guy said, "I'm a preacher." And he asked the other guy, "What do you do?" And he said he was walking Route 66. He said, "Interesting, do you know God?" And the hero in the story said, "Well, I'm trying to get to know him. That's good. I'm going to pray for you every day." "Well, shouldn't I be praying for you? You're the preacher." And the preacher said this, and as soon as he said it, I said, "Wow, is that not a true statement?" He said, "Everybody comes to me knows I'm a preacher, and they act a certain way around me." He says, "It's easy for me to be a preacher, but you're in the world and they don't know you, and it's harder for you to show your Christianity out there where they don't expect certain things." I thought, wow, you know, there's a lot of truth to that. And I've said something similar before. I said, before I become a preacher, I actually got to lead people to Christ, and a whole lot of people, and witness to them every day in the secular job I had. As a preacher, people come to you, there's a certain expectation, if you will, and you're dealing more with people who already know Christ rather than not. So it's you who are in the world that have a tougher time. So one of the things I thought is, how can we help you to see what we need to be doing? And one of the things we need to be doing, of course, is the Great Commission, right? Jesus gave it to his disciples. He gave it to us. Go into all the world, teaching them, baptizing them. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So how do we do that? So to set the stage there, I said, well, let's go look at a guy by the name of Philip, the apostle. And let's look at how Philip carried this out and how we can apply it today. So we're going to start by looking at our first introduction to Philip in John chapter 1, and I'll invite you to stand for the reading of this part of the word. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip. Notice, he found Philip. Philip didn't find him. Notice how it's worded there. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said to him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. And Nathanael replied, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered, do you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened, the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Now, Philip, from what we know and what we can gather with the background, Philip had probably been out listening to John the Baptist. And remember, John was preaching out in the wilderness, out where there was nothing, if you will. And the crowds were going out to see him. So apparently, Philip has been looking for the things of God. Everybody agree with that? And Philip, for lack of better terminology, Philip discovers Jesus. Jesus actually discovered him and saw Jesus. Philip may have been standing there when John said, look, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the world. We don't know. But he obviously found Jesus. And the first thing he did after he found him was go tell his friend Nathanael. But before I get to Nathanael, I still got some other questions about Philip. Since Philip was out listening to John, I think Philip may have been like me, fed up with playing church. Because he wasn't in the temple. He wasn't in the synagogue. He was outside. And he found God outside. Outside where a man changed a tire or bought groceries or loaded water or put anything else you want to in there. There's more of God going on outside the church than there is inside the church. But the first thing Philip did, he went and said, Nathanael, we have found him. Bob, we found him. You got to come see him. He's the son. He's the real thing. And what did Nathanael say? Come on, Philip. Get real. They can't nothing come from Nazareth. Well, instead of arguing, what does Philip say? Come see. Don't take my word for it. Come see. Come check it out for yourself. Come see if I'm telling you the truth, and you make the decision. Nathanael came. And do you know what happened? Nathanael becomes an apostle. He accepts Jesus as the Messiah. Do you really think Philip ever thought Nathanael was going to become a disciple when he said, come and see? He probably thought he may realize Jesus was real, but did you think he thought he was going to be elevated to one of the 12? You know what? We never know how far the faith journey will take one we bring to see Jesus. And notice, Philip didn't do anything but say, come and see. He just said, give Jesus a chance. And it went on from there. How far will the next person we invite to come see Jesus in our faith and in our church, how far will they go? They may be the next Billy Graham or Louis Proal. They may be a preacher. They may rise to be a bishop or an overseer in a church. We don't know. But like everybody else, Philip has to learn a little bit. And the next time we see Philip is at the feeding of the 5,000, found in John chapter 6. And there we read this. After this, Jesus went to the other side, the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. Large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain. He sat down there with his disciples, and Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, then Jesus said to Philip, get ready. Where are we to buy bread for all these people to eat? Jesus said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. And Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. So, in other words, Philip said, ain't gonna happen. Here's my take on that. Philip has become a lot like us, including preachers like me. We're caught up in the ministry so much that we forget how great God is. And we say things have to be done this way because they have always been done that way. In fact, I got chewed out here last week because conference said, you have to do this. I said, why do I have to do this? This is my church, not your church. We're going to do it the way we want to. Well, that's not the way we recommend. Okay, I understand that. Guess what? We're going to do it our way. No. But we get caught up and say, you got to do it this way. Why? Jesus wasn't doing it the way they did it. Philip didn't do it. But Jesus has got to draw Philip out and teach him a little bit. So you know the rest of the story. Now, Philip's watching this, remember. The rest of the story there is Andrew goes and gets the boy. I'm in the South, right? I'm going to do this the Southern way. You ready for that, Mr. England? And he brings a boy that has 2 catfish fillets and 5 little hush puppies. That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. You know, you can call it sardines if you want to. That's fine with me. And he takes them 2 little fish and 5 loaves of bread, multiplies them to feed 5,000 men, plus perhaps women and children. And then Philip has to pick up the leftovers, which end up to be 12 baskets. What has just happened? Philip, by observing this, has just seen that with Jesus, a little bit is more than enough. Amen. Philip has just seen that his faith, if it's just a little bit, can produce great things. He had to be matured. He had to get out of the trappings of ministry. He had to be stretched. And I wonder when I read this, I wonder, because I read the pieces in between. And in between all this, Philip's watched Jesus heal people and walk on water. And I wonder when he said, we can't buy enough, if he had any idea who he was talking to. If he had forgotten those things that Jesus had done before. Well, Philip's already seen his friend Nathanael become an apostle. You and I may need to remember that Jesus is all we need. And as we make our little bit available to him, he'll do greater things than you can even think, dream, or imagine. Now we move to the book of Acts, and we see Philip again in Acts 8, 4 and 8. Now, there's an argument here, and the argument is this is not the same Philip, and I don't believe that, but that's okay. Even if you think it is a different Philip called Philip the Evangelist, we're looking at how Philip conveys his faith in the world, okay? It says, those who were scattered went from place to place proclaiming the word, and Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah to them. Notice Philip has quit saying, come and see, and now he started taking the gospel to them and telling them about it. He goes even further. The clouds of one accord listened eagerly to what was said by Philip, hearing and seeing the signs he did. Oh, so God's working through Philip now. For unclean spirits, crying out with loud shrieks, came out of many who were possessed. So Philip is working. Many others who were paralyzed or lame were cured. There was great joy in the city. Philip's faith matured. He's learned from Jesus. He's seen the resurrected Jesus. He's experienced the power of Pentecost. He's now out doing the things that you and I are told to do too. Go out and teach and preach in the name of Jesus Christ. Philip seems to have learned his lesson. The lesson that his little is a lot, and the lesson that he needs to listen to God. Because look what happens when we hear about Philip next. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, wait a minute, he's actually going to admit he's seeing and talking to angels? We need to call Dr. Phil for him, don't we? He admits it. He's listening to God's voice. An angel of the Lord said, get up and go towards south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road. Wait a minute. That'd be like God telling, we'll pick on Michael Moak since I called him, go out on 471 out there where there ain't nothing and sit there and wait. Come on, God, you want me to go south down to the wilderness road? Come on, God. I understand it if you want me to go downtown 98 Lakeland where Smokey Bones is or something. But you just want me to go south down there where there ain't nothing? But notice Philip doesn't argue. He just goes south. Then we find out he got up, he went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning home, seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. Remember, New Testament has not been written at this time. All they've got is the Old Testament. The Spirit said to Philip, go over to this chariot and join it. Wait a minute, Philip. This guy's probably got guards. You're going to go over there. One of them's going to stick you with his spear. Don't say anything about that. It says, Philip ran up to it, and he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And Philip asked him, do you understand what you're reading? He replied, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. The passage that he was reading was this. Like a sheep he was led to slaughter, like a lamb silent before its shearer. So he does not open his mouth in his humiliation. Justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch asked Philip, about whom, may I ask, does the prophet say this, about himself or someone else? Then Philip began to speak. And starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. So Philip is telling him about Jesus and how this scripture is fulfilled in Jesus Christ and what Jesus did for all humankind there. Says then, obviously, this guy bought in, if you will. And believe, because it says, as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's water. What's to prevent me from being baptized? Philip, you're not a preacher. You haven't been ordained. What are you doing? Oh, that's only me thinking that way. I got to get out of the box again, don't I? He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Of course, what Philip's doing is fulfilling the call that he had. Go and baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. And he found him, the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. Got rid of that guy finally. But Philip found himself at, wherever that thing is, Astus, whatever. And as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. So Philip didn't think twice about an angel talking to him. And Philip led this Ethiopian to Jesus Christ. Now here's something we don't know. And it goes back to tradition. You have to know a little bit about tradition. Tradition says that this Ethiopian, who was the bigwig in the Candace's court, went back and started the Coptic church in Ethiopia, which is the biggest Coptic church in the world today with over 50 million members. You never know who you're going to lead to Christ, who you're going to explain the gospel to. You never know how far they're going to go and how much God is going to use them. But notice what else happened. As soon as Philip finished that mission, he was caught up by the Spirit, it says, and taken somewhere else. And there's no stopping what he's doing. He starts preaching all over again. Wherever he was inviting people to come see Jesus. He was ministering to the next person. He was telling that next person about Jesus, about what Jesus did with him. Notice what he does. He tells them how he related to Jesus. That's all you have to do. You don't need a seminary degree. You don't need a special calling. You need to know Jesus Christ, and I think that is special within itself, and that's a special call there. But you don't have to have special classes. All you have to do is tell people, let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. And I tell you what, don't believe me. You come and you try it yourself. You come on to our church and you see. Our founder, John Wesley, he made this claim once. Give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and I care not whether they be clergymen or lay. So get that. I care not whether they be clergy or lay. So it doesn't matter if they've got ordained preaching behind them or if they're just sitting in the pew, if you will. They alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of heaven upon earth. Don't know if he reached that, but England was certainly changed to some degree. America was certainly changed. Did you know that in 1850s, before the Civil War, there was a survey taken, and of the people in the United States, 60% that responded said they were Christian were Methodist. 60% were Methodist. Methodists have certainly been on the front edge of sending many of the missionaries into the world. Not only Africa, China, South America, all over. Methodists have certainly been some of those. I dare say the gates of hell have been shaken for a time because Methodism was sending people out, doing what Philip did, inviting them to come see. Let me tell you about this Jesus. You come see him and try him for yourself. There's a popular Christian song out. It's a little old, but you probably know it. It says, what God has done for others, he'll do for you. Remember those words? Well, God still wants to reach the lost. God still wants to help the hurting. God still wants people to tell the world about his love for them. He's not finished yet. It's not over until either we breathe our last on this earth or he splits that eastern sky and calls us home. Until then, he's still asking us, give them the message. Wesley asked for 100 preachers. I'm going to challenge you this. If within our congregation, if we can give God 10 Philips or Phyllises, female version, if we can give God 10 Philips or Phyllises that will take nothing but go and invite people to come see Jesus and preach and teach and tell them what he did for them, then I'll make you a promise. I think I can. This church will double in size and the people outside will be saying, what the heck is Ray Gibson doing? Because all I do is hear about their ministry. 10 Phillips. What if every one of us became a Philip, though? Wow. And aren't we supposed to be Phillips? Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing if we really believe? We're supposed to be those people that turn around and change tires. We're supposed to be those people that help others. We're supposed to be those people that says, okay, don't believe me, but come and see. Come to my church and see. Come to my preschool and see. Let me let you talk to my pastor or my Sunday school teacher or whatever. So take your connection card out and get ready because we're not finished. This is just the beginning. But what's your next step now? Now that you know about Philip, is your next step that you can invite others to Jesus? And all you got to do is invite them to church if you can't do anything else. Just say, come to my church. And hey, y'all remember those cards? Y'all still got those cards? There's more out front and there's more right here, and we got 1,000 more in order. Those cards that you can give out, let's say you're invited to join us for worships, gives them the time, hand them one of those. Write your name on the back of it if you need to, because you may want to do that in a moment. You're going to be getting some statements, I believe, right, Dick? And inside the statements you've got a letter, and every statement has two of these in it, correct? For you to invite people. But you don't have to have this. You can just invite them to come see for yourself. Invite others to see. Or number two, use your little bit for the kingdom. Because 2 catfish fillets and 5 hush puppies fed 5,000. The little bit you have can be multiplied immensely to enlarge the kingdom of God. Just an hour a week, or like Hope House, what do y'all spend? Three hours down there? Something like that? 3-4 hours a week can make a difference in the lives of 30 to 40 people, if not more. Number three, maybe you can share your knowledge of God with others. Just tell them what God's done for you. Doesn't mean you have to be a Sunday school teacher or a small group leader either. Just tell others, man, I see you're having a hard time. Let me tell you what God did for me. And let me pray for you. And maybe we need to check this last one, because I think a lot of people don't do this. We need to expect God to use us. Y'all might as well sit down. Don't even think yet. Okay? See, we're still caught up in the confines of how we do it. Expect God to use you as you allow Him. Now, we went out and we've been talking. There's been some of us talking, some of the leadership and class, and we've been saying, how in the world can we help people? And about 4 months ago, you got those pictures. Was Debbie able to get? This is an ornament. There's two up here, by the way. You can come look yourself. It's a cross. It was a wooden cross originally with a heart around it. And Debbie actually had it up in one of the songs here about 5 or 6 minutes before that, about 6-8 months ago. And I liked it, and I said, send me that. And she sent it to me, and I took it to a guy named McPherson, who is part of our thing, who's a juror, and said, can you make these? I think so. Okay, I want you to make them. Because I got something we want to do. We started telling, we want to do something. We're going to call these the Philip pendants, okay? And we're going to give some away. And this is all you have to do. You have to bring people to church to win one. If you'll bring 3 people to church, you'll be entered. Dick, where are you sitting? It's 10, isn't it? The top 10 people, bringing people, will get one of these free. Now, here's how we're going to do that. Starting next week, I will not be at the back door after church. I will be standing here. If you bring people to the church, you need to bring them up here and introduce them to me. Your connection card next week, instead of having comments, will have, I brought X people and their names. And that card needs to come to me so we can keep count. And you bring in the top 10 of the most people, you're going to get one of these free. Not going to ask you about it. Okay? You can get either the kind that goes on the, this one goes on a chain, it's a little bigger. This one can be used as a lapel pin or a tie tack. And we're going to let them choose whichever one they want, correct? And by the way, let's thank David McPherson, because David's the artist that makes it. And thank you for the... So there's what we're asking you to do. Be Phillips. Go out and bring people. Now, not only do we want to do this and give you those, we also want to run this to the end of September, maybe a little longer. And what our thinking is, and this still has to be put together, is celebrate the end of it with a meal. Got to be barbecue, but it can't be North Carolina barbecue, Dick. I'm sorry. A meal where you sit at the table with the people you brought throughout this time, and we have a big celebration. So we're asking you to be Phillips. We're really just rewarding you like God rewards us for going out and doing what we're already supposed to do. I'd like to find out that guy that changed your tire and see what kind of good fortune he's had since then. Because I can guarantee you something good has probably happened to him. You know? Same with the guy that bought the groceries. I bet you something's happened. He bought $10 worth of groceries and God gave him an extra $100 this week or something. God's just that way. So we're just asking you to do what you normally do, and God's going to reward you. So next week's the first week. You're already starting to figure out who you can go ask? Dick, can we put a hold on this? You can't make any till after we get through. because Dick's already had people ask, can he go bomb? But, you know, you can come up here and look at these afterwards. And if you got your own design, David will be more than happy to work with you for a fee. You got free advertisement there. So can you go out and be Phillips or Phyllis's? Can you go out and help someone, invite them to church? You just invite them. We'll tell them about the gospel when they get here. Or the Sunday school teachers will, and Sue and John and others. Okay. Any questions? Okay, now.